So is this thing working? There it is. This evening I'd like to give most of our time to simply talking about Burkina Faso so that you learn some more about where we plan to go. Especially since a lot of people don't know much about Burkina Faso, so hopefully this will be an educational experience for you as you learn about this country and the people there. Okay, we're alive. Very good. All right, so as we said this morning, Burkina Faso is a country in West Africa. Again, a lot of people haven't heard about it. Of course, by now, if you were here at all this morning, you know all about Burkina Faso, including where it is on the map. And again, it's not that white spot. That's Lake Victoria. All right, I guess you could be a missionary to Lake Victoria if you want to go out on a boat and witness to the guys out there fishing with the crocodiles and the hippos. But that's not where we're going. The country we're going to is the one there in the green. The countries around it, maybe some of these are more familiar to you. It is landlocked and bordered by Mali, Niger, Benin, Ghana, and Ivory Coast. So maybe some of those names are more familiar. It's close to those countries. Is it on there? Aha! So yes, it's right there. You'll notice on our prayer card some of these countries are maybe a darker shade. That's kind of the area of Africa our attention has been drawn to. We're burdened for something that a lot of those countries have in common, not all of them, but French is a lingua franca of many of those countries. Good language to know if you're going to that area of the world. Africa's a big place. So anyway, that is where we are looking at going there. Okay, so Uganda, where my cousin is right here. Right here, right by Lake Victoria. So, that's where he's at. So he's kind of on the other side of the country. Kenya, where I was before, I mentioned that in my testimony, that's right here. And then where Anna grew up is right here, right in the hinge. That's Cameroon. And then when I talk about interning in Ghana, that is right here to the south of Burkina Faso. So there you go, a little geography lesson there, that's good. So let's see if this thing works. Here's maybe a better picture of where Burkina Faso is at. It's that red place, that red country right there. Maybe a little more obvious for you. All right, here's a close-up of the country. So a little bit of history about Burkina Faso. If you are a more seasoned individual in here, maybe you remember about hearing about a place called Upper Volta. Several decades ago, it was known by that name, and then it gained its independence from France. It was a French colony, part of France's empire there in Africa. But anyway, it gained its independence, and then somewhere along the line, I don't know the date off the top of my head, but a revolutionary named Thomas Sankara took over the government. Thomas Sankara, he was a captain in the army, and he staged a rebellion, and he took over, and he was a communist revolutionary, and he's kind of their George Washington. And I know George Washington and communist revolutionaries don't have a lot in common, but anyway, he's kind of their national figure, and he's the one that renamed the country. He renamed the country. He called it Burkina Faso, and Burkina Faso is, if I understand it correctly, comes from the Moré language. There are many tribes, just like other African countries, that live in Burkina Faso, but one of the tribe that holds the majority is the Massi tribe, and that's not to be confused with the famous Maasai tribe from Kenya. This is the Masai tribe, and they are primarily located in Burkina Faso there, but anyway, they make up a significant part of the population, and the name Burkina Faso comes from their language, and basically it means something like land of the upright people. And unfortunately, they don't always live up to that name, but that's what Burkina Faso means. So that's where that name comes from. And anyway, this morning I mentioned our goals. Our goal here is, Lord willing, even by the end of the year, we'd like to take an initial extended survey trip. And one of our goals is to go over there and work with a veteran missionary named Keith Shoemaker. Brother Shoemaker, he's been in the country for several years, and he's been used of the Lord to plant several Baptist churches, to establish a couple of Bible institutes, to train national leaders. And he's also been instrumental in training some other younger missionaries. So he has had experience in working with folks like us that could use some mentoring from some seasoned missionaries. But anyway, where we will be locating is, I don't know if you can see this, but there is a white dot with a red circle around it right there in the middle of the map. Like I said, if you take your finger and you put your finger right in the center of Burkina Faso, that is where the capital city is. And the capital city, again, it is called Ouagadougou. All right. And I'm sure that means something. I'm not sure what that means, but it is not gibberish to them. It may sound like gibberish to you, but it is not gibberish to them. Sometimes it is simply called, just they abbreviate it, and they simply call it Ouaga. So maybe it would be more helpful for you to remember Ouaga. If you want to know where the Reisingers are, it's Ouaga. And if you're really smart, it's Ouagadougou. But so anyway, right there is where we will be locating here, Lord willing. So here's some, I'd like to give you some statistics. Actually, I guess I'm supposed to point, oh, it worked that way too. I was told to point it back there. But anyway, here are some statistics about Burkina Faso, give you an idea of what the country is like. And then I plan to show you some pictures from the short time I was over there back in 2018, tell you a little bit about that. That'll give you maybe a visual picture of what Burkina Faso was like, and maybe even a taste. So here we go. All right, so some statistics about Burkina Faso. Again, I shared some of these this morning, but the population is about 22 million people, and it's not up here, but in landmass, the country is about the size of the state of Colorado. So it's not an insignificant piece of real estate, and there are many people that live there. I have heard statistics that range anywhere religiously that Burkina Faso is 50 to 65% Muslim. So it is what you would call a Muslim majority nation, and it does have a significant Catholic minority. I imagine that's probably from the influence of France in the country. It is a highly rural country. A lot of people still live in primitive third world villages where they engage in subsistence farming, living off what they can grow and gather and that kind of thing. One saying I've heard about Burkina Faso is Burkina Faso is 50% Muslim, 20% Christian, and 100% animist. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Matt, I graduated high school and that math just doesn't add up. But we did mention this morning. It actually does, because what happens a lot in Burkina Faso, and actually this is, if I understand it correctly, this is common in many places across Africa, is something called syncretism. And basically what that means is someone will identify as a Christian or a Muslim, and they practice that to some extent, but they also retain a belief in, and to some extent a practice of, the old African religions, whether that look like idol worship or demon worship or ancestor worship or any combination thereof. That kind of belief is still very much alive and well in Africa. And in Burkina Faso in particular, is a place where that is alive and well. So, and that is particularly true as you go out into the rural areas. As I mentioned this morning, Burkina Faso is what I would consider a limited access country, and I'll say more about that here. We mentioned a creative access country is a place where in order to get in, a missionary has to have some alternative means. Maybe he's an English teacher, which is like the oldest missionary trick in the book. I'm surprised that still works, but it does. Guys still get into closed countries with that. English teaching, humanitarian aid, business, you know, something along those lines. Some alternative reason for getting into the country. You can still get into Burkina Faso, even though it is a Muslim-majority country, openly as a missionary. The government, like we said, it kind of has a secular mindset, so even though people identify as Muslim, many of them, like I said, they are peace-loving people, and they want to get through life just the best way they can, kind of like a lot of Americans. So the reason I call it a limited access country is the country is currently struggling somewhat with a good deal with Islamic insurgency. So if you Google Burkina Faso and you look at the news, that's what they will want to tell you all about, either that or something to do with Niger and the crisis that's going on there. That's the country to the east of Burkina Faso. And that crisis has displaced perhaps 2 million people in the country. Maybe two million people have had to leave their homes because of that crisis. So it is a very serious point, very critical point in the country's history. And a lot of the people, those displaced people, they do flee to the big cities, to the major cities, and Ouagadougou is one of them. So Ouagadougou, where we are going, that is a very rapidly growing city. I've heard there's about maybe 4 to 5 million people there, and it is growing as people come into it. So people from all over the country. So back here at this map, even though that is a... So a lot of the terrorism did not actually originate in Burkina Faso. A lot of it originated in Mali, here to the northwest, and Niger, here to the northeast. But over time, and for political reasons probably, it did spill over the border into Burkina Faso. And a lot of the trouble in the country is located in the north, in the north part here, and in the east, although there is some in the rest of the country as well. And like we said this morning, we are thankful God has left open a door of opportunity for American missionaries to get in and work openly. Like I said, Brother Keith, he is here in the capital city of Ouagadougou. He's there. There's a couple other young families there. And then I am aware of a missionary family that is living and operating openly in this city down here. That's the second largest city in the country, and its name is Bobo Dioulasso. Again, I don't necessarily expect you to remember that, but those are two areas right here and right here where American missionaries are living and operating normally. Brother Keith would tell you where he is at. He does not feel threatened. They continue to go to church openly, evangelize openly, train people openly. He's building a camp on the outskirts of the city where they plan to conduct their Bible Institute and host camps and that kind of thing. So anyway, where he is at, they continue. There are some precautions they take, but they do continue to operate very similarly to how you folks would operate here. And so we are thankful for those doors. We trust that the Lord will keep those doors open, that He will enlarge them, and that He will continue His work in the country there. Let's go back here. One interesting thing about the country, it is a very poor country. I don't remember the exact statistic off the top of my head, but the literacy rate is less than 25%. So a lot of people in Burkina Faso, they cannot read. And that definitely affects ministry over there. Very, very poor, very many people do not have the benefit of an education. So now I'm going to start showing some pictures of the time I was over there. And again, I was over there in 2018 when I was interning in northern Ghana. And again, that was with Aquila Daramani, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity. He's there in northwest Ghana in a town called Wa. That's a whole lot easier to remember than Ouagadougou. All right? And it's real easy to spell, W-A. So he is there in northwest Ghana in the town of Wa, and I think you said Alexander Tingbani's been through here too. I met him while I was over there too. He's a great guy. I like him. But anyway, I was there in northwest Ghana, and we worked it out for me to go visit Brother Keith. I was there in Burkina Faso for 4 days, and these are now pictures from that little adventure that the Lord had me let me have. So this is on the way up there, and as you can see, we're on a very major highway, great roads. If I remember right, this picture is actually still in Ghana, but it's close to the border of Burkina Faso. This man here, that is a man, his name is Pastor Gabriel. He is a brother there in who's working in Wa, and I had the privilege of helping him while I was there do some evangelism for a church plant in a Muslim neighborhood there in Wa. Northern Ghana, southern Ghana is a Christian majority. Northern Ghana is a Muslim majority region. So Alex, Aquila, this brother Gabriel, they are ministering in Muslim majority areas. All right, this is, if I remember right, this is in Burkina Faso. Here's a lady riding her bike. All right, this, again, if I remember right, this is in Ouagadougou, so now you're going to be seeing pictures of the place where we plan to locate. And yes, there are well-paved roads there. There are well-paved roads in Africa. But there are some very bad roads in Africa, too. Here you see a picture. These are just simple shops along the streets. A lot of people try to make a living that way. They will set up a shop and sell different kinds of goods, nothing fancy. So here's a couple, looks like different shops here selling different things. I kind of get a kick out of this picture because this poor guy probably didn't realize I was taking his picture. And now he's being shown across the United States. I wonder how many people have done that to me. So, again, this is in Ouagadougou, this big building back here. This is the hotel. And Ouagadougou is like a lot of other African capitals. In African capitals, you will find modern infrastructures and modern conveniences. But you don't have to go far to find people that are living in some pretty low conditions. But there are modern buildings, modern infrastructure. Here's a mosque. This is a big mosque in the city. Again, Muslim majority country. You see a lot of people lined up here selling different kinds of goods. Again, that is a way a lot of people try to make enough money to live off of, or at least help them live. You see a lot of people on motorcycles here. That is a major mode of transportation in Ouagadougou. Burkina Bay people love their motorcycles, and some of you have met my mom. I have a joke with my mom. Growing up, she would never let me have a motorcycle. So my joke with her is, if I'm ever going to have a motorcycle, I'm going to have to become a missionary to Africa. That's not the reason I want to go to Africa, but it is amusing. So that is a major mode of transportation over here. But in all seriousness, it is not the safest mode of transportation. A lot of people get hurt over there. Traffic in Africa is very interesting. In a lot of cases, it is It is every man for himself. And be thankful for the order you have on the road over here. I know sometimes speed limit signs are treated as speed suggestions, but at least people, for the most part, stay in their lanes and honor stop signs and stop lights. You don't have that kind of order over there, and it can be rather interesting. Here's a picture of the largest mosque in the country. It was under construction while I was there. I assume it is in use. They've made more progress on it. It's probably even in use now. But again, Islam is just a major, major stronghold over there. This, believe it or not, is a house. This is a house that you might find in a suburb of Ouagadougou, and as far as I know, this is mud block that's been plastered over. And what will be interesting to find out when we get over there is I don't know how cool they keep this place. Burkina Faso is at an interesting place geographically in Africa. It's right at that point in Africa where sub-Saharan Africa is transitioning to the Sahara Desert. So a lot of Burkina Faso isn't necessarily pure desert, but it is a hot and it is a dry place, especially the farther north you go in the country in the hot season. You're talking about highs consistently over 100 degrees, that kind of thing. And as you can see, they've made an effort to ventilate this house. The window is vented, even the door is vented. It looks like there's vents up here on the top of the house. But again, I'm not sure how cool they are able to keep these dwellings. This is that same house here on the right. And as you can see, a lot of their neighborhoods are pretty tightly packed together. One of the things I was able to do while I was there, like I said, I was only there for about 4 days, but it was a very full 4 days. Brother Keith, he gave me opportunities there to participate in the ministry. For example, that was probably my first experience speaking through two translators. A lot of times in settings like that, like even where I was in Ghana, in Aquila's church there, the pastor will preach in one language and somebody else will translate into another language. And the reason for that is you may have people in the church that speak the one language but not the other. African cities can be very diverse in who's there, as different people from different parts of the country come in trying to find a better way of life. So like Aquila, where he's at, for example, English is one of the major languages used, but maybe someone speaks English and not the major tribal language, or maybe someone speaks the major tribal language or not English. Well, it's the same in Burkina Faso. So for example, Brother Keith will preach in French and somebody will translate it into, well, I assume where he's at, into More, which is the language of the Masi people. But me, obviously, when I was there, I didn't speak French, so I had to speak in French. I mean, I had to speak in English. Brother Keith, he would translate into French, and then the national guy, he would translate into More. So I don't know how much my message changed by the time it got down to him, but that's why it's good for a missionary to learn the language, amen. But anyway, one of the things, other things I got to do while I was there, I'm thankful I had this opportunity because I probably could not make this trip now, but I went up with Brother Keith to help a national preacher do some evangelism in a village near a town called Pisila, which is to the northeast of Ouagadougou, so you'll see some pictures taken around that time. Now here we are going north in the country, as you can see. It is dry. Here's a little countryside mosque there. Here's some livestock. That picture's not really clear. That's a sheep or a goat right there. All right, here is a picture in the village. This is not, I believe this is a compound. So like a family would live there. And as you can see, they're living there in mud brick houses with a thatched roofing of some kind. Here's a picture of the village. Again, this particular village is kind of tightly packed there. You see the mud block housing. So one of the things we did when we were over there was we showed a film, some Bible-based films, to attract a crowd. And when you're doing that kind of thing and you don't have a screen, a truck over a tarp, it works great. So basically we showed a film to draw the crowd, and then I was able to give my testimony, and then Brother Keith and the national pastor, they proceeded to attempt to preach the gospel to those people. And let me just say this, I very much enjoy ministering in village settings. If you ever get a chance to go over to Africa, you have a chance to go minister in a village, do it. It's a wonderful opportunity. It can be rather adventurous. You might put some interesting things in your stomach that you're not used to eating. You might find yourself sleeping in some conditions that you don't particularly enjoy, but it is a great experience. It is very much worthwhile, and I love doing that, and I appreciate the opportunities the Lord has given me to do that. But anyway, some interesting things can happen in villages sometimes. And one thing in particular, I had not experienced this before, but we had a little interruption to our gospel meeting. And believe it or not, the problem was termites. All right? Like I said, when you go to a village in Africa, you may end up putting some interesting things in your stomach. And the people over there, they do have different tastes. Now, in different parts of Africa, they don't always eat the same thing. For example, where I was in Ghana, they think termites are chicken feed, not people feed. But here in Burkina Faso, they like to eat termites, and I guess this particular type of termite that showed up that night, they were attracted to the light of our projector. So again, that was kind of a disturbance, and these particular type of termite, I guess they just come out every so often, certain time of year, something like that. And so naturally, some of these people, they got very excited. In this picture, you see this man here. He has two straw brooms in his hand. One of them is lit on fire, and he is sweeping the termites on the ground up with one broom, and then he's hitting them with the fire to kill them. And that's how he's collecting them for his supper. And I think that night they made termite stew. Now, I know I say that, and the first thing y'all are thinking is, I want to go home and have a nice big bowl of termite stew. Pastor, I'm not hearing any amens. We did not eat those bugs that night, but I did eat these bugs. These are packaged grasshoppers. So, you know, here in the United States, if you get hungry, you need a snack, you can go to the Quick Stop, and you can buy yourself a bag of chips. So in Burkina Faso, if you get hungry, you can go to the Quick Stop and get you a bag of bugs. And I did eat these bugs, and they were not good. They looked like catfish bait. They smelled like catfish bait, so I assume they tasted like catfish bait. But I did my best. I was a good missionary, and I got those things down. But you know, Pastor Madrid, a strange thing happened. I have never experienced this before. There was a resurrection in my stomach, and those grasshoppers—they wanted to jump back out of there. But I won the fight, and I kept them down. Amen. This is probably one of my favorite pictures that I took over there. And this is why. Basically, what's going on in this picture is these are some missionaries there doing like a neighborhood Bible club in a neighborhood in Ouagadougou there. And the reason I like this picture is there's a lady here that you would not necessarily expect to be at an event like this, let alone bring her kids. And as I pointed out, there is this lady here that's decked out in the full black Islamic garb. And not all the women, as you can see, in Burkina Faso dress that way. But it's not an uncommon sight. And, you know, you and I, if we were just walking down the street and we saw this lady, it would not surprise me at all if our first thought would be to dismiss her as someone interested in and what we have to say as Christians. And yet here she is, she's even brought her kids to this event put on by Christian missionaries. You know, we have to be very careful, even here in America, of looking at someone and simply because of their appearance, dismissing them as someone we shouldn't waste our time on because they probably aren't interested in what we have to say. And really, this is a testimony to the openness among some people that claim to be Muslims in West Africa. There are many, many people. Yes, there is turmoil in Burkina Faso right now, but there are many, many people that if you were to approach them on the street and try to have a spiritual conversation with them, they would at least listen to what you have to say. And I know by experience it's the same there in northern Ghana. So even though people claim to be Muslims, many of them are willing to listen to you. Now, it's still not easy for them to get saved. Islam is still very much a cultural stronghold. If people convert to Christianity, many of them will experience ostracism from their families and that kind of hardship. So it's still not necessarily easy for them to get saved. But like I said, many of them, they will listen to you. And that is exciting. Because like Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if someone is at least willing to listen to what you have to say, that is the beginning of the Holy Spirit doing that work that only He can do in their heart. And so there is really, not just in Burkina Faso, but in other places in West Africa, there is really an exciting window, there's an exciting door of opportunity into the Muslim world. And we don't necessarily always think of West Africa when we think of the Muslim world. And again, you know, a lot of the people there, they don't practice the same form of Islam as maybe someone in the Middle East. It's more of a folk Islam, but still, it is an exciting window of opportunity into that world. And it is a window of opportunity that I fear American missionaries are not taking full advantage of. And I really wish more would go. So if you're wondering what you should do with your life, if you were to ask the Lord if He would use you in West Africa, I don't think He would be disappointed to hear that. But if God calls you to do Japan next week, I won't be disappointed either. Let's see. You do some interesting things when you go to Africa. This crocodile is well-fed, so I'm safe, relatively. This is at a place in Ouagadougou there. I guess it's what you call a tourist trap. You can go buy a chicken and feed it to the crocodiles. Now, what's interesting about crocodiles, and again, this is a reflection of the more animistic beliefs that prevail in the country, in northern Ghana and Burkina Faso, crocodiles are sacred. So that's one animal they will not kill and eat over there. There's another place in Burkina Faso. I have not been there. I'm told it's in the western part of the country, but they have a place where there is sacred catfish. And you laugh, but if you want a blessing from the spirit that's behind these catfish or whatever, you can go offer a chicken as a sacrifice to these sacred catfish. And to you that may seem ridiculous, but to people in this area of the world, the dark side of the spiritual realm is a very real thing. It is not something to joke about. They understand that to a degree that many people in America do not. It is very real to him. The picture of that pastor I showed you earlier, Pastor Gabriel, he grew up worshiping idols, worshiping demons, that kind of thing. And one thing he told me was when he was in that belief system, I don't remember exactly what he did to do this, but he could pick up scorpions and not get stung. And now he says, I wouldn't dare do that. And anyway, that's just an example of that kind of thing is very real to them. And at the end of the day, that is not something you want to be messing with, because it is not a joke. It is very real. But anyway, back to the sacred catfish. That's a very real thing over there. Now, when I think of that particular situation, I like to think of, I don't remember what chapter it is in Acts, but Paul, when he was there in Ephesus, the people that were saved, they took their magic books and they burned them. So I think what needs to happen in that situation is a missionary needs to go to that area. Those people need to hear the gospel and get saved. And then to apply that passage, they need to have a sacred fish fry. And when that happens, I want to be there. Amen. So... this is a picture. This is a town in the southern part of the country. It's called Leo. You see a picture here, and in the center of the picture here, there's some boys, and they're driving a donkey-driven cart. You see that a lot in Burkina Faso. Donkeys and cart, donkeys pulling carts is a very common sight over there. They like their donkeys. In fact, I was told that if a crocodile grabs one of their donkeys, they will go in after it. I think I'd let him have the donkey. So please pray for us. I trust that you will pray for us. Several of you have signed up for our email. If you want to, you can still do that. That sign up is still out there. And we truly, truly appreciate it when people make a conscious effort to regularly bring us before the Lord, intercede for us. And we serve a prayer-answering God. Amen. So pray for us as we endeavor to go. Pray for us that our needs would be met in that regard. And then do pray for more laborers. Like I said, Africa in general, at this point in its history, is very open. There are many, many people, not just in Burkina Faso, in sub-Saharan Africa, if you were to go, and just get off the plane and start talking to people. There are many, many people that would take the time to listen to you. So please pray that the Lord would raise up more laborers and that the present opportunity in Africa would not be wasted in this generation. And really, Anna, that is what Anna and I are burdened for, that the Lord would use us to help meet that need. We're not enough to meet that need. Africa could use many, many more missionaries. And there are several countries in that West African region that could truly, truly use more missionaries to take the gospel throughout those countries. So please, please pray for more laborers. And then pray that the open doors that God has left open there in Burkina Faso would stay open. God, as we talked about throughout the morning, God is the God that is over all. He is the Almighty One. He is the Sovereign One. And even though there is trouble in the country, He is able to protect what He is doing. And we trust and we pray that He will continue to do that, that American missionaries will continue to be able to live and to minister there, and that He will protect the national pastors and evangelists as they go out and do their work and pray for the return of peace. And the Psalm says that God maketh wars to cease. And even when you look at a situation in a country and it just seems to drag on and drag on and there seems to be no end to it, God is the one that can step in and make all the difference. And we trust that He will do that. And then pray here that God would use the crisis to rescue people out of the Islam and the darkness of their spiritual beliefs. You know, one of the greatest truths, if you could put it that way, that God reveals about Himself in the Bible is that He is able to take what is evil, what men and the devil intend for evil, and to turn it for good. And one of the ways he's able to do that, particularly in the Muslim world, is to use trouble to wake them up to the hopelessness of their beliefs. In Islam, Allah is absolutely sovereign. And the fact is, you can do your best to keep the five pillars, to be a good Muslim, and at the end of the day, it is still Allah's sovereign decision on whether or not you go to paradise. Islam does not offer you assurance in the face of crisis. Animism, the doctrine of devils, the idea that you can manipulate the spiritual powers to cause things to work out in your behalf, that does not give you peace. You're constantly trying to manipulate the spirits and get them on your side. And so pray that God would use the crisis to wake people up to the fact that, you know what? What I believe does not give me hope. There must be something else. And that something else is the Christian gospel. Amen. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It is the heart of the Lord Jesus that every person he died for hear about what he did for them. And as we mentioned this morning, if that is to actually happen, some people are going to have to enter some difficult circumstances. And again, I don't like that fact, but that's the way our world is. And let us all be willing to do what God would have us do in advancing the gospel around the world. All right, I said this morning that maybe we'd have some question and answer times. Do we still have time for that? Okay. So I guess we'll take a few minutes now, and if you have a question about anything you happen to hear, a question about me and or Anna, you can go ahead and ask that now. Hopefully I'll have an answer. If I don't, I guess I'll just be honest and say, I don't know, I need to figure that out. But so if you have a question, feel free to ask it at this time.